muted. He can't.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high and canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. If you could see us all just bopping our heads. This song still slaps, man. It's a good song. It's a really good song. Welcome back. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I am here with Greg Bach in the last half hour of the show. And have you gotten your absentee ballot for the primary?
No, I haven't. I get a not sure when, like, because with the move and everything, because I think
are you gonna just vote in person?
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna vote in person because I have to re-register and do all that stuff. And yeah, because I think it's the week after. Yeah, it's the week after we move.
Okay. Yeah, because it's less than 5 weeks from today, August 9th. So as we kind of talked about this yesterday, as far as how well in the major statewide race for the Democrats who are running for U.S. Senate, how well they've differentiated themselves. And I've admitted, I don't know if I admitted it on air, actually, but I still don't know who I'm going to vote for. But there, I have 5 weeks and I'm going to figure it out. I think there was a lot, even as of last month, there was 36% of people who plan to vote in the Democratic primary still didn't know who they were voting for. So I'm not alone. But people are voting. People are already putting their ballots in because the absentee ballots have arrived. And one of the points you brought up to me as we were thinking through what we wanted to talk about today is kind of this, what seems like two, maybe even three decade problem of Democrats trying to connect with rural Wisconsin and even more specifically Wisconsin farmers. And, you know, I've never felt super educated, like in the place to talk about this topic because I am very much a city girl. I grew up in Madison, lived in other big cities, came back and now live in Milwaukee. And so my finger is not really on the pulse of the issues that resonate. I mean, I can read about it, but it's not in my gut as far as understanding what resonates with people, like a very big portion of our state and a very big part of our economy and what we're known for. And so you seem to have thoughts on this. And so as far as who has potentially differentiated themselves on this topic specifically?
Well, I think that when it comes down to it, like, you know, there's, when I was studying in college, I have a degree in political science from UWM, and one of the books we had to read was a book called What's the Matter with Kansas? And the ultimate question was how did the conservative party, how did the Republicans win what was the heartland, essentially the farmers, that area, you know, all those areas that when you think of Republicans, you think of big business tying themselves to huge corporations, but they somehow managed to rework their messaging to get to those points that are not, big business essentially, and say like, we're with you, we believe in you, we are your America, and farmers and people who live in rural areas just took it. And they've been controlling those areas for a very long time using things like patriotism, fear, you know, the liberal agenda, things like that. And
Democrats cheat.
And the problem is that Democrats generally don't form. And I mean, not all of them, of course, but like they tend to not form plans which include those areas, mm-hmm. include the farmers. They don't really have, like, they'll say things like the farmers are the backbone of America, but they also say the same thing. All politicians say that small business owners are the backbones of America. And I think when it comes to someone who's really, I mean, and this is not an endorsement by any such stretch of the imagination, because I also am not truly down with who I'm going to vote for just yet, but Nelson. Tom Nelson. That's I wanted to call him Tim.
Well,
Tom
there are Nelson, two other Tims, but they're on the other.
Yeah.
Don't vote. Don't vote in both the Republican and Democratic primary. I'm going to keep beating this drum for everyone who has an absentee ballot because there's not a clerk there to be like, no, you can't vote in both. You got to pick one. So either a Republican candidates or Democrat candidates. If you're don't vote in both. Anyways, keep.
But Outagamie County Exec Tom Nelson is from rural Wisconsin. Now, me saying this doesn't mean I'm not proposing that any of the other candidates don't understand. Well, maybe I am. He grew up in rural Wisconsin, and the other candidates are just, I feel like, giving lip service to the farmers as Democrats and Republicans do as well. Like, a lot of people give lip service to that demographic of individuals, whereas Nelson has he's put forth like a plan. Here's what I'm going to do to help farmers, not only just farmers, but like small farmers, because that's an important, very affected area of America that's being taken over by big farms, which of course push the Republican agenda because they're going to get all the money and subsidies and whatnot. So like reading in a Cap Times article, it was an op-ed done saying that Nelson is the only one who's actually come forward and said he is going to put farmers first and he's going to protect the dairy farmers and the land. And I think that's something that Democrats don't generally do. They just pay lip service. And I think something that Nelson's doing that's setting himself apart is he's trying to get out there and really appeal. And he's the fact that he's from Outagamie and not from Milwaukee. He's not the son of a billionaire, you know, and then, you know, those things matter to people who they're trying to hook.
Is Kudlowski from Eau Claire? But not a farm, not like a rural park.
I believe her family, it was more rural, Trumbull County, I believe, over in Mississippi, or somewhere specifically in Eau Claire, but...
Not Mississippi State, Mississippi the River.
Mississippi the River, correct. over there, yeah.
ISS, IPPI.
But I believe that's where her roots were, but she's also spent a lot of time in D.C. and stuff of that nature.
Yeah,
as well.
She left and moved back. There's nothing wrong with that as someone who's done the exact same thing.
No, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I don't want, like, you know, it almost seems like they get penalized from being in cities. They're penalized for going off and doing their thing, but it's important to come back and say, like, we have to take care of you. You're important to us. And I just think that that's something that Democrats don't really do well. I don't think a lot of politicians do well because they don't know how to, they do because they're not talking to everybody and they can only say so much and they generally put it together in nice little packages.
Yeah. And I always wonder, I was listening to some, like, a podcast the other day, you know, everyone's talking about from the top down Biden. I think there's more and more, especially as the midterms come up, governors and Senate races where the messaging is starting to splinter from White House messaging, because I think there's more of an understanding. And I don't understand why that always hasn't been the case to a certain extent, because if there's, you know, Biden's arguably talking out of both sides of his mouth of trying to appeal to both moderates and progressives. And so thus it's mixed messaging and what the agenda is and the priority is and everything. And so, you know, for a governor like Evers or a governor like in Pennsylvania and like, I never understood why it all has to be one party message instead of understanding what works in for who you live in your state. Right. Mm-hmm. And, I think that does make a lot of sense. And because I think in the op-ed that you reference, which is kind of shocking, that they said the last Wisconsin Democrat who beat a sitting Republican U.S. Senator was in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago. Like, that's 30 years ago, and that was Russ Feingold. And then obviously he was in seat for a while. But because it's not like I think Ron Johnson's looking out for the farmers.
No.
Right? Like, it's interesting that they would, I don't know if I can think of anything that he's ever said. I mean, if anything,
I actually don't know who Ron Johnson's looking for out for at all,
jobs
period.
Come to Oshkosh, for the Oshkosh, defense company. And so it's interesting that if whether it's Tom Nelson, but as putting out a plan, if that this could be the first time, if he were to win the primary, to have anyone really have that be a core part of their messaging, because it is a very important part. And it's sad, right? Because the amount of emphasis and priority that these CAFOs get as far as these massive not family farms, and how many family farms close every year in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Is that just the choice that we're making, that like find a new job because they're more efficient and they can get it done faster and cheaper and make more money, and that's just the way that we're okay with that? Or are we actually going to try to save this lifestyle for people who have been doing it for generations?
Well, I think the government has to make it sustainable for them to do it. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of farmers now, like you got kids growing up who are like, I don't want to do this. And they've been doing that for years now, but I feel like in even more today, maybe kids are like, I don't want to run the family farm anymore. I'm done. It's not what I want to do with my life. And then if they're not making money on top of it, then yeah, it's going to close down. And if the government's doing nothing to help them, then yeah, it's not sustainable and it's not even feasible. It's like, maybe there's a way to give, I don't know, like, is there a way the government can give subsidies to small farms that actually make it look like a good business investment for the younger generation coming up, saying like, this is your business. Yeah.
Luke, you just pointed at yourself. What is that?
Well, yourself.
Do you guys mind if I interject?
No, like, if you have insight knowledge on the farmer experience, we...
Well, I think that this is an important part, but it's not... I'm not going to claim that I have any insight on family farms here in Wisconsin, except for the fact of what you just brought up, is that there's ways that we could have the government incentivize these things, and it ties back to the conversation we were having about public school funding. It's a set system. There's only so much money in the pot, and the state government determines who gets to spend that money where. One of the biggest expenditures in the state of Wisconsin is the manufacturing and agricultural tax credit. It has cost the state $1.4 billion over the last decade. It is branded and then messaged as this thing for farmers, and it goes almost exclusively to millionaires.
Yeah.
Republicans in Wisconsin passed this tax that it's a tax cut. It's a manufacturing and agriculture tax credit.
It's basically a tax loophole.
Right. And so it allows really these CAFOs, these other big businesses that you're talking about in agro and manufacturing, to be able to not pay taxes, not pay into that general fund. And there are definitely ways that we could incentivize small family farms instead of these large agro businesses. But it just gets back to, it's something that's allowed to be messaged that way as, oh, it's good for agriculture, even though it's good for millionaires, not family farms. And so really
there is zero job creation requirement to get that tax credit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Luke, are you telling me that Republicans put together a tax loophole that only benefits millionaires and billionaires? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because
it's just mostly.
It's north of 80%, I believe. Like it's like a majority of that. Rebate goes to millionaires, but I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Greg. That is at least according to like the Wisconsin budget project, I believe. Don't take my word.
Sounds like the liberal agenda to me.
Socialism to those big businesses, right? They get $1.4 billion over a decade. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me, if you ask. But
yeah.
I will say, I could never cut it on a farm. I spent one day at a dairy farm in Jefferson County last year, and she's like, yeah, you don't get a day off. The cows need to be milked every day. And like, I'm barely like being able to hold on. It's like, how am I going to do a 2-hour radio show every day? This is so much work.
You gotta milk the news, Kristen. You gotta milk the news every day.
All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, and we'll be back after the break.